Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Just all right?
I could be marginally better if Jacob wasn't here, but I'm doing all right since he is.
To be fair, I'd be marginally better if I wasn't here either. So.
Fair points all around.
Playing Mass Effect.
Well, that's your problem. You play Mass Effect.
Hey, I like Mass Effect. Nothing's wrong with some good Mass Effect.
That's your problem. You play Mass Effect.
And what are you playing?
I won Cade the Wild at Heart today.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. What else are you playing?
Cozy Grove still.
Still?
Yeah. And some other shit that I'm not sure if I got embargoes and can talk about.
I don't know.
Played a little more Rust, got dead some more in that. That was a mistake.
Nice. I have been balls deep in Knockout City.
I have played quite a bit of Knockout City as well, which we'll also talk more about.
Jacob got that.
I got it. I just wasn't going to acknowledge it.
She doesn't acknowledge any of us having balls.
No. That's why when I make fun of y'all, I make a voice like this, because y'all ain't got no balls.
Hey.
Excuse me. At least we would sound good on a tabernacle choir.
I'm Jacob. I sound like this. Bah, bah, bah.
Go ahead. Right. Do me like that.
I'm Joe. I sound like this.
No, I don't. At all.
I do not sound like that at all.
Now, if Chris Huber were still here... The lack of balls thing would be accurate, but... Well, no, he only has one.
I have a voice that sounds like this, and I also have no balls, so everybody else has to sound like this, too, whether you have balls or not. That's just the way it is.
Makes sense.
Because the funny thing is in my head, my voice sounds like Joe's. Which I've always found really weird. And then, like, I hear my voice, and it's super high-pitched, and I'm like, who the fuck gave Minnie Mouse a crack balloon? I don't get it. I don't get it.
I suck dicks out in the alley for money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, so. Minnie's just out in the middle of an alleyway giving a blowjob to a helium balloon. And that then sounds like me. And it's traumatizing.
Wait, you sound like Minnie Mouse giving a blowjob to a helium balloon?
Yeah, because a helium balloon makes your voice higher.
Well, that's what you sound like?
After she's done it, she probably sounds as high pitched.
This is a very confusing conversation.
But in my head, I sound like Joe. I'm like, my voice is way deeper in my head.
This conversation's weird. Games with gold were announced.
It's also weird. Speaking of weird shit,
how's that for a segue? Segue into the news.
Oh God, discuss them.
Crickets chirp. I don't know if that's towards the Games with Gold or probably
everything.
Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus lineups were announced for the month of June, and they are both kind of Xbox is particularly on Xbox One. We are getting The King's Bird and Shadows Awakening.
Is that a new game? Has it been out? What is that?
The King's Bird has been out for a while.
Has it?
Yeah. It tends to be on sale for like $3 or something like that.
Mm. And Shadows is from 2018.
I mean, that one I'm excited about because I don't own it.
Oh,
I mean, I'm always excited about
2018. Apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always excited about games I don't own. So, like, I'm always viewing it as like a all right, cool.
I already own them both though, so I can't be excited.
Platformer.
Well, Joe, maybe stop buying every game under the sun as they come out.
But.
I do what I want.
You don't know me.
No, I do know you, unfortunately, both personally and biblically.
This looks like an Electronic Super Joy knockoff.
Part of me wants to say we covered it. I'm sure we did. I can't remember.
Which game?
The King's Bird.
I'm pretty sure we did.
I can't remember.
We cover literally everything
we
at
do.
This point.
So.
Purnell covered it in episode 455. If you want to tune in, folks, that episode is up on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, they are all up on YouTube. Go visit us on YouTube. Go visit us on Spotify, on iTunes. Or visit us on Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursday nights and hang out with everybody else in chat who's hanging out with us. Some sexy fine people hanging out. And Carnage. Xbox 360 is getting Neo Geo Battle Coliseum and Injustice Gods Among
yes.
Us.
Yes. Both of those are awesome titles. Although Injustice was free a while back.
What? Pancakes!
I don't think so. If it was free, I would have had it. But I don't have Injustice on digitally on Xbox.
Huh. I'm pretty sure you're the one that told me about it.
I don't know.
Let me look it up.
It doesn't matter.
It does, because I'm going to prove you wrong, Joe.
Aki saying King's Burden, what? Shadows Awakening. I kind of want to say like Diablo-style game. But yeah, PlayStation Plus was also announced for June. On PS5, they're getting Operation Tango, which is one of those co-op games, like It Takes Two and A Way Out, stuff like that. It is the PS5 version only, not the PS4 version, which has a lot of people upset because they're like, it has crossplay, why wouldn't you give us both versions? But apparently it's like one of those that you can have a friend pass, so possibly you could download it on PS4 that way and play with someone on PS5.
That sucks, though.
Can I go back to Injustice for a second?
Oh, God.
Shut up. So, back in June 2020, it was up for free for a bit. Not sure why. However, the season pass was still $15. So, is this version of Injustice like the gold edition or whatever?
No, it's just the base game.
Okay. Then, yeah, they've offered it for free once before.
Then I'm surprised I don't have it because I don't own it. Digital.
And you are literally the person that told me about it.
Huh, that is weird.
Timestamp of June 19th, 2020 at 11:29 a.m.
Why the fuck are you digging so deep for this?
Because I was sure that it was available for free.
Well, also available for free on PS4, Star Wars Squadrons.
Jeez, nuts.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars Squadrons, that one's pretty good. And then this one was a surprise. The just-announced Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown, which is not only getting a two-month stay on PS Plus, but it is also joining PS Now, and, of course, it is PS4 exclusive. Thanks, Sega.
Yeah. Oh,
holy crap. So, like, next month they get Star Wars Squadrons and Virtua, like, the new version of Virtua Fighter 5?
Yeah, a lot of people are not happy with the visuals of Virtua Fighter 5, though. Everyone is the faces look weird.
I thought it looked amazing. Oh, man. Dude, if I was a PlayStation user, I'd be fucking stoked for next month. I mean, granted, I would have owned Star Wars Squadrons, but you know what I mean. But
I don't know. I'm not too impressed with the month. So
I'd be all over that shit.
Well, good for you. So, Microsoft announced that the Xbox and Bethesda Game Showcase will stream Sunday, June 13th, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Who's excited for this?
I am.
I'm hoping we see something good this year. Although the rumors are saying that they're playing it safe this year, which I hope not, because they've, quote, played it safe the past fucking decade.
No, I saw one rumor that was like there will be 5 new IP announced over the summer.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I don't remember where I saw that at. Now I feel bad. But I did. It was like they're expecting 5 new IP to be announced. Or at least 5 new games. I seem to remember saying IP, but I'm going to backpedal and say games just to be safe. So that way my rumor is not 100% inaccurate if I'm wrong.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Current rumors are stating that Forza Horizon 5 is supposed to release this year and supposedly will set in Mexico.
No.
Why no?
We haven't got the new Motorsport yet.
So?
Doesn't it usually Aren't they usually like staggered? They don't release those back to back like that.
Well, it used to be like an every other year, and this is the other year for Horizon. They just took a year off with Motorsport because they're working on the new Motorsport for Series X and S.
Hmm.
I mean, this is all just rumor. This, who knows if
I'm not buying that rumor. I'm not accepting that one. That one seems off. No, that one just doesn't line up with what I expect for Forza. So I'm gonna poo poo on that one. Fuck that.
Everyone else seems to be trash. Excited about a possible Forza Horizon 5. As am I. I say bring it on.
I would absolutely play the shit out of Forza Horizon 5. I just don't think it'll be this year.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Now, quick question. With that kind of stuff, like the Forza Horizon games, have they usually been like day one on Game Pass and stuff like that?
Yes.
Ooh. This whole Game Pass thing is suddenly very sexy.
Dude, we've been saying Game Pass is great for how long?
Shut up.
If it comes from Microsoft Studios, or I guess it's Xbox Game Studios now, isn't it? Yeah. If it comes from Xbox Game Studios, it's day one Game Pass, guaranteed.
Nice.
All first party.
How did you not know this, Jacob?
I think I knew it in the back of my head, but I don't know. I figured like Forza would be too important for something like that. I don't know.
No.
Everything.
You realize Forza Horizon 4 and Forza Motorsport 7 are both on Game Pass right now, right?
Well, yeah. No, I know that, but I didn't know if they were day one or they just got introduced. Well,
Forza 7 wasn't day one because Game Pass didn't exist then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
Horizon 4 was,
yeah.
All right, so, I mean, I feel like you already answered this question. So does this mean that when Halo Infinite comes out?
Yes. Day one Game Pass.
Jesus.
Motherfucker, we've been praising Game Pass for when how long? Do you not pay attention?
new Fable. You're talking. So
no. Yeah, and Star Wars Squadrons is on Game Pass through EA Play. No time for games. Pointing that out.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I own that. That was a day one purchase.
And I looked it up. Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown, the 360 version, is playable on Xbox One. So that's not anything too huge in my eyes, again, on PlayStation. I think it's weird that Sony's paying for exclusives like that.
Yep.
But whatever. Speaking of exclusives showing up on weird platforms, the Gears of War 3 PS3 build was released online by Twitter user PixelButts.
I'm going to release this incredible thing, and also, my name is PixelButts.
I don't think you should judge Eternal Rage. But yeah, the whole game, start to finish, PS3 build. It's weird that it exists. It has PS3 prompts in the game and everything. It was clearly unfinished, but it's still weird to see what was out there and what kind of cool shit gets leaked. Good talk. Thanks for chiming in.
Sorry, I had a kid walk by, so I muted.
Helpful.
That was Jacob's fall apart right there. He should have picked up Slack while I was muted.
More rumors suggest that Square and Team Ninja are working to bring some form of action RPG Final Fantasy spinoff, exclusive to PS5. Shocking, of course, but it seems like that's the MO for Square and Team Ninja lately with the Neo franchise.
I was just about to ask what Team Ninja has done, because I'm not familiar with the name.
Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, okay. Oh, that would be trash. That would be trash for that to be exclusive. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, they said it's PS5 with a PC release further down the road.
Yeah.
So.
But it does not look like Xbox will be included in discussions for that one. Though, more rumors suggest that the new Nintendo Switch will release in September or October timeframe and will replace the current $299 model. So either it's going to be a SKU update or it's going to be a revision. Who knows what's going on with that, but rumors.
Do you think they're actually going to do like a Switch Pro that people are begging for?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Do they do that, though? Do they usually do mid-gen refreshes like that?
On their handhelds? Game Boy Advance, or the Game Boy, and then the Game Boy Pocket, the Game Boy Advance, and then the SP, and then the Micro, the DS, and then the DS Lite, Then the 3DS, the new 3DS.
But then you could couldn't you argue then that the Switch Lite was already the mid refresh?
And they might have another.
That's fair.
3DS, new 3DS, new 3DS XL.
I haven't fucked with Nintendo stuff in a long time, so
yeah,
you gotta remember that's not my wheelhouse.
Well, yeah, they definitely have their mid-gen refreshes, so okay. Who knows what's going to happen with this one.
All right.
Yeah, and Switch Lite isn't much of a refresh when it's technically actively worse because it doesn't have
TV functionality. We have one, and it is an odd choice for a console, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Randy Pitchford came out and stated that Borderlands 3 now has crossplay for most platforms, except PlayStation, quote, due to requirement by the publisher. The current guess online is that Sony requires a fee for crossplay and 2K doesn't want to pay it.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
And Sony needs to stop that. Why require a fee for that? That's stupid.
Because they didn't want to do it in the first place. But this just lets them shrug it off and go, well, they're the ones that didn't put it in their game.
Yeah.
So then they unload the blame to developers and publishers instead of going, well, we tried to, you know, gink them out the ass to get the money for it, but they chose not to pay the ransom.
No.
You know, it's stupid, but it doesn't surprise me.
PC and Xbox can play together at least.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Ark Mika saying actually Sony did want it in the first place, but Microsoft was against it then. Now the roles are flipped and Sony's steadfast again. See, that's the thing. Everyone tries to pull it up. Sony wanted it and then Microsoft didn't want it then. Microsoft wisened up. Sony got stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to bring it up that Microsoft didn't want it. Yeah. And they got their shit together and now they want it. Why did Sony change their mind? They were so for it, and now they're so again. You know, whatever. Knockout City has reached over 2 million players.
The impressive part of this is that we were looking at true achievements and true trophies, and Xbox had like quadruple the number of players.
Oh wow!
Compared to PlayStation, obviously, true achievements and true trophies are not a steadfast indicator of how a game is doing on any one platform. No. But it was impressive just to see the difference in the numbers because it was such a big difference.
No, it's a fun game though. We're going to talk about that more later on. But goddamn, it is a fun, fun game. I've put so much time into that. Carnage and I have been teaming up frequently to knock some people around in the game. My win-loss record is atrocious. I am always on the losing team. I have like 4 wins so far. That's it.
I don't have any wins.
This is going to sound crazy, but you need to play with Lightspeed.
You need to play with what?
And number 3 are just ridiculously gross at Knockout City. And they team up and I don't think they ever lose. And it's really insane to watch Lightspeed Halo from Chad play Knockout City with my 8-year-old and they just shit on everybody they come across.
It's a cool ass game though. So I'm happy to see it doing well. Resident Evil Village has shipped over 4 million units globally, so that one's doing pretty well.
Seems like it's doing fine.
Well, it's hard to ignore, you know, big titty goth mamas, so.
She's in so little of the game, though.
Which is unfortunate. It was just
smart marketing on Square's part.
Capcom.
Yeah.
I always fuck the two up. I always think it's Square Games or Capcom. Capcom Games or Square. But, I mean, it was just good marketing on their part.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Smart. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
BlizzCon. They put out that trailer. Yeah. They were smart with the trailer. Smart with the titties.
The demo. The trailer and the demo and everything just was like dead focused on big giant vampire lady with huge bazoongas.
Tapping into the market that would want to tap that.
And then everybody's like, step on me. And Capcom goes, sure, for like 15 minutes. And then never again.
Not in this movie theater.
Anyway, BlizzCon 2021 has officially been canceled, but an online event will be scheduled for early 2022. Not shocked.
Nah.
The world's starting to get a little bit on track, but clearly I think people are rushing it still. I think they're trying to get it open way too early.
Yeah, me too. Oh, well. I am very hesitant to buy into the, hey, just they're open on the floodgates, and there's just too many variants and shit out there.
There's too many unvaccinated idiots out there.
That is also true.
Yep.
And, like, I know they were saying in some of our counties in our state that only, like, 10 to 15% of the population had come in to be vaccinated. I was just like, fuck off.
Wow. That is depressing.
Yeah. It's bad.
Anyway, some new game announcements. Dragon Quest XII has officially been announced. It will supposedly run on the Unreal 5 engine. No platforms were announced, but I'm going to go ahead and guess PlayStation.
Yeah.
Probably Nintendo, too.
Yeah.
Then Xbox in 4 years.
Yeah.
And then Dragon Quest III is getting an HD 2D remake in the style of Octopath Traveler, which that looked really cool. No platforms for that. But I'm going to go ahead and guess PlayStation and Nintendo.
I can't fathom why you think it wouldn't come to Xbox.
I don't know. Sonic Colors is going to be coming to all platforms later this fall, and a new Sonic Origins collection is in the works. In addition, Sonic the Fighters will be a fully playable arcade game in Lost Judgment. You like your Sonic news, right, Jacob?
I mean, like, I'll be honest, I was disappointed. I was disappointed, but not surprised with the Sonic Origins collection announcement. Because, I mean, it's just like, Sega loves whoring it out as much as Nintendo loves whoring out the original, like, Legend of Zelda. and it's just, come on, man. Like, we couldn't get collections of other things. Like, there's, what I was personally hoping for, I mean, because I figured we'd get more than one collection. What I was personally hoping for was like a collection of like all the racing and driving games, because there's at least one of them that's not available on Xbox anymore digitally. And it's just, it would have been nice to get those in like a nice little neat package, or like even one of like the ones that are rarities, like Chaotix and stuff like that. But it's just, oh boy, Sonic 1 through 3 and Knuckles. Yay.
Well, like, we don't know if they're going to have more.
How
or not.
The fuck am I supposed to get excited about that?
Like, no. They're banking on Knuckles because Sonic 3 and Knuckles wasn't really available that much recently.
It hasn't. Shit, I forgot. Somebody said it's been like 15 years since it's been technically available.
Yeah, it was available on Xbox 360. And through backward compatibility, it's still been available on Xbox. But I don't know if there's going to be. I hope there's more than just those five games.
Yeah, and also Sonic Colors. If you buy it, you get a baby Sonic keychain from the movie.
Yeah.
Woo! My kids will fight over that.
Anyway, last bit of news I have is some Sony news. They announced that Horizon Forbidden West and Spider-Man Miles Morales will be coming to PlayStation Now. And then also, according to an investor presentation, Uncharted 4 is going to be coming to PC.
Okay. I'm glad to see more games hit PC from that were exclusive. Because then I get to play them without having to buy PlayStation.
I'm wondering if they're doing that to get people excited for the movie.
Probably.
Which I think is still slated for like February of next year,
or the inevitable Uncharted 5.
Yeah.
That's what they tend to do.
Arne is repeatedly talking about the Chivalry beta starting on Xbox. He's very excited about the beta. I would assume. I think there's three links now about the Chivalry beta. How long is the beta? Isn't it only like a weekend long beta or a week long?
I don't know. I don't even know what this game is.
Chivalry. Like
I didn't ever play that, though. I don't know.
Oh. Well, there you go. Yeah, it runs through June 1st. So, why talk about the game's out June 8th? So I guess if you're interested, you could pay attention to that. But I don't know. I don't like talking about betas because chances are like no one's listening to this during a relevant time. Like my yeah. assumption is if someone's going to listen to this, they accidentally stumble on it like 4 years from now. Like, what the hell's this? They talk about chivalry? Let me check that out. Oh, they don't know what the fuck that game is. These suck.
Like they didn't already come to that conclusion before?
I mean, they probably did. I mean, yeah, so like, that's the news I got.
And they don't know it.
Cole, what news do you have? Anything on your end?
No.
So helpful.
I know.
Jacob, what do you have? Anything on your end? Or are we just moving on reviews?
No, you're not that lucky. So Nintendo has filed a patent, which essentially is eShop accounts could soon display personalized game suggestions. You know, based on your previous activity of what you've bought and what you've played, we'll suggest this, which I'm pretty sure everyone else has done.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
Like Xbox very clearly has a based on your suggestions feed yeah. on the store.
So I don't know how Nintendo's differs from that. So whatever. Or maybe they're just the first ones to do that.
Aki says, shut up, Jacob, and find me porn game news.
Porn game news? Well, there's a new Tony Hawk game coming.
Allegedly.
Yeah, according to the CKY drummer, Bam Margera's brother, said on an episode of the Behind Closed Doors podcast, he believes that they're appearing in a new Tony Hawk game. He says, he then goes on to clarify he didn't mean the recent Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 Plus 2 remake, and saying it's going to be another just some other one. But of course, nobody knows what that means because Vicarious Visions merged with Blizzard. So we don't know who would be doing it or anything about it. So something may be happening. Fine news reporting, I know.
Yeah.
So also Netflix is apparently trying to find avenues into the game industry. They started with producing TV series based on like Castlevania and The Witcher. But now they want to do something actually in gaming. So, but nobody knows what exactly that means. If it's going to be something like how GameTap was years ago or Stadia. But they think that's going to be their next big thing. So, and apparently Valve is also, working on some sort of Switch like portable PC, that you'd be able to walk around and carry and play
there you competitor.
Go, Aki, there you go. You can play your porn games on the go.
On a Steam tablet.
So, there you go. It's apparently going to be called... It's currently called Steam Pal.
That's a dumbass name.
Well, you know, just watching porn on my Steam Pal.
playing porn on my Steam Pal. Not watching. You got to get the interactive stuff.
Well, I mean... You know, I mean, there's probably like a 2 minute, like, you know, FMV, you know,
cutscenes.
Yeah. So, not much is known about it because it's obviously at a prototype stage and it may never even get released, but who knows?
It's fun to talk about.
Yeah. Little Big Planet servers have been closed after hackers were posting hateful messages.
Mostly, that's not cool. I saw some of the shit they were posting, and that is not at all cool. Transphobic shit? Fuck off.
Yeah. So, I don't know if the servers have been brought back up yet, but...
Hopefully Sony fixes whatever loophole they're finding to hack into the game.
Yeah. And then the last bit of news that I have, which was announced today, Merle Dandridge, who voiced Marlene in The Last of Us 1 and 2, is going to be, has also been cast for the show that HBO is making. So,
didn't the Sonic voice actor get recast?
Yes.
As he was brought back. He was dropped and then they just brought him back.
Yeah, they brought him back for the, and I mean, everyone lost their shit over the Sonic, whatever that event that they held today was called, because he did the announcement for it.
That's cool. I'm glad the fans got what they wanted, because they weren't happy that he was dropped, but he's back. Roger Craig Smith?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, review time, y'all ready?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, because the first game we're going to talk about tonight is called Knockout City, developed by Velen Studios, published by Electronic Arts, released May 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Available as a part of EA Play and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, team up and duke it out with rival crews in Knockout City TM, where epic dodgeball battles settle the score in team-based multiplayer matches, throw, catch, pass, dodge, and tackle your way to dodgeball dominance. Cole, you start us off. Tell us about your time with Knockout City.
So, Knockout City is dodgeball with, like, I'm gonna kick myself for saying this, because it's not 100% accurate, but it's got that Fortnite aesthetic, right? Super bright, super colorful. The characters are not properly proportioned. They got that exaggerated cartoon thing going for them. One of the nice things about it is the character creation. As goofy as the characters kind of look, there's nothing labeled male or female in any of it. You choose from two body types. One is kind of top heavy and one is kind of bottom heavy. They could go either way. There's a couple of different facial structures, but again, any hair type, any face type, any body type.
I found the majority of the type. Faces look very feminine, though.
I thought most of them looked masculine. I thought most of them were masculine.
I thought they had a very feminine.
A lot of it reminded me of Facebreaker. Like if you remember that old EA boxing game.
Yeah.
No.
I remember. I don't know. To me, it looked like somebody brought back those old models and decided to toss them into Knockout City. So.
I would like to see a more rotund body type. I assume that the issue is all the clipping and stuff that would happen, because your character can roll into a ball and be thrown by your teammates, which is fan-fucking-tastic.
until you get thrown off a building by the opposing team, which happened to me more than I care to admit.
I'm actually really good at saving myself if I get thrown off a building. The problem is a couple of maps have, like, trash chutes or a small crack somewhere in the center of the map, and really good players will throw your ass in those, and you can't save yourself. I've had that happen maybe 4 or 5 times. Most people don't think to do that. They'll all lob you up in the air out of the way, and you're like, dumbass, I have a paraglider. I can just come back to the arena and everything is fine. There's no penalty. But every now and then,
I've been getting into this habit of getting thrown off, and I have just enough clearance to make it back. Mm-hmm. And then instead of hitting the B button to double jump, I hit the A button and glide down and miss the ledge and die.
That'll do it. That I would say that the double jump function is actually the one I struggle with the most.
Yeah.
And I almost never double jump. And it's kind of a shame, because that's the kind of movement that allows you to get this really cool strategy and play style down that, like, the more advanced players use. So, like, if you can double jump, you can kind of spike the ball and it'll arch. So you can arch it up, which I can do that one, but you can also curve it around and make that fucker curve around full-on wanted style. Yeah. Curve around pillars and whole-ass buildings, and it really changes the way that you can interact and get away. When I think of dodgeball, I think of kids in a row just flinging the ball and hoping for the best. But Knockout City actually found a way to make it exciting and engaging and force you to really learn the skill set to succeed in a group of three. Did you succeed, Joe?
I succeed partially. Like, I do fairly well with this game, believe it or not. There's times where I'm in the moment, I'm catching, I'm throwing, I'm curving, I'm getting KOs, double KOs, assists, and I just always wind up on the losing team. And man, I'm not mad about it because it usually comes down to a third match, and they're usually like 10-8, 10-9 games. So it's not like I'm getting blown out. It's not like I'm losing matches 10-4 or anything. I'm competitive. I'm in it. I'm just not winning a lot. And I'm not mad about it because it's fun.
It is one of those that even when you're losing, you're just kind of laughing it off.
Yeah, it's usually just so enjoyable. And it's the important thing is it's competitive. No matter how good or bad you are, the matches are usually really competitive.
I think one of the interesting things about it, though, even though it's competitive, it's available to all skill sets. Like I said earlier, before we even started doing the review, number three has been playing just an absolute shit ton of Knockout City. She's in love with it. She's begged her sisters to play it with her. They won't. We hit up Lightspeed. He joined in and played with her. And he was like, she actually does things that the randoms won't do. It's like pass the ball and you know, play to a strategy. And I'm like, she's eight. So, I mean, it's certainly accessible enough, which, I mean, I don't know that my kids are a good gauge of accessible playability because that's all they want to fucking do is play. But they, you know, an eight-year-old could pick up the controller, run through the tutorial, and she's jumping in there and winning games and getting, I mean, she is pulling full-on blowout games of, like, 10-2. So, I mean, it's easy enough that anybody could jump into it.
Jacob, were you able to jump into it?
No.
Wow.
It's easy enough that even Jacob could do it. No, it's not. Yeah.
Okay, so my 8-year-old could do it, Jacob.
I mean, granted, I haven't had as much time as you folks, but I am like 99.9% sure I have yet to actually hit anyone.
I'd like to point out, Jacob says, I don't have as much time as you folks. And I spent 50 hours this week on Rust and the Wild at Heart. But okay.
Okay.
I didn't have time either. Did we lose Joe?
No, I'm still here. Okay.
Then my stream
just
dropped.
I'm seething to myself.
Why are you seething?
Because my reviewers are awful.
Oh. Yay.
I'm like 99.9% sure I have yet to actually hit anybody in this game. I've not been on a winning team yet.
Pro tip, hold the trigger.
Thank you,
Joe. And then release it to throw the ball.
Hold on. Crazy. Shit. I gotta write this down.
You'll learn.
Like, I don't know. It just felt like all the games that I've played, it felt like I was playing against people who were way more used to it than me. And it just, we just got wiped out like every fucking time.
So you were playing Cole's daughter.
Probably. And unfortunately, I wasn't on the same team, so I couldn't throw rice at her. No, I mean, like, it seems like a fun game. I don't know if the tutorial level is as expansive as I would have liked, because I would have liked a few like fake matches, but I also found it a little weird to navigate. And so then I just ended up hopping into games where I was just constantly getting creamed.
Wait, did you just go to the hub or did you do the actual tutorial?
Well, the starting thing, doesn't it start you out on the tutorial?
No, that's a hub.
Well, where it shows you the different controls and stuff like that.
But it has a full-on actual tutorial.
What?
I'm guessing he did play it, because I remember the game kind of forcing you into it. I can see what he means.
Isn't it the first thing that you do?
Not the whole tutorial, no. It does the little drive-by of, like, here's the buttons.
And then it says, why don't you jump into a match? But you could go through more tutorials.
You can go through another tutorial.
There's like three of them.
It never offered me like, oh, why don't you jump into a match? Because I found it like hard to navigate what was the next thing I was supposed to be doing in the tutorials. Because I thought it was kind of cool that it was open world for a tutorial. But at the same time, it was just like, it never really pointed out what I was supposed to do next. So I'm just there wandering around like the, what I'm guessing is the hub world. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Cole, you like, and I had fun with it.
Whoa. That's not to say I didn't have fun while playing it, but I'm just going off like my own experience with it. I don't know. I also found like, I like the idea of like that whole ball thing where like you can roll yourself up into a ball and have your teammates throw you. I thought that was a really interesting mechanic. Unfortunately, I was usually on the receiving end of it and being thrown off a building by the opposing team.
Roll into the other team. Just do it around your team, preferably behind cover. Roll into someone, let them charge you up.
I couldn't control it. Like, why? I'd get hit. I would get hit and I'd get turned into some sort of ball thing.
Oh, so you were playing a match with the police ball that locks you into a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess every single match I've been in had that ball. So
I wish there were more special ball types. I've mostly gotten bomb or moon. I'd like to see multi-ball more often. The police one, I'm not a fan of that much, just because the whole locks you into a ball thing that's way too annoying to get out of because you have to mash the A button to get out. Mm-hmm. I would love to see more ball types and more special matches, but I understand that the game just started its life, and that's what's exactly going to come.
Yeah,
and even just from like the when it launched in the like trial phase before the actual season started. As soon as it launched into the full season, they added a new map and new equipment and new game modes, just like that for free. Here you go. Here's more. So that was impressive. I was really afraid that Knockout City was going to go the path of Rocket Arena. And for anybody who doesn't remember, I was supposed to review Rocket Arena and I could not get it to launch on either Xbox or PC. So I was really concerned about Knockout City. And I will say I have had issues getting it to launch on PC. I have not been able to launch it on PC. You have to go through the whole EA desktop, and it's garbage.
Origin or what?
No. There's a whole new one, EA desktop. It's a whole new shebang, and you have to go through it if you're using Game Pass. And it's a pain in the ass. And I just eventually gave up and was like, well, I guess I only play Knockout City on the Xbox now. And now number three and I are at odds over who gets to play it.
Don't you have like 9 Xboxes in your house?
Well, we do have the Series S, and she has played it on there, too. But sometimes she has to fight with her sisters, and they're like, I want to play Assassin's Creed. And she's like, but I want to play Knockout City. And then I just shrug and go, whatever, I'm going to my computer. You guys do what you want.
I like how even your kids have the high-pitched voice.
Their voices are actually deeper than mine, too, is the sad part.
I want to play Assassin's Creed. No, I want to play Knockout City.
That is more what they
I
want to
smoke more. I like my cigarettes.
It turns out one of Cole's daughters is actually John St. John.
Anyway, Knockout City is available for $20, also available as part of EA Play. The first 10 days it's out, they're doing a block party where it's free for everybody, but the base price is going to be $20 on this one. What do you think of it?
I give it a buy it as well, because I mean, I see a lot of potential in this game, and I think it's just one of those things you have to get more used to. My question is, with that $20 thing, is it just like you download it now through the 31st and you've got it for life, or is it once the 31st is over, you now have to pay $20?
I'm pretty sure once the 31st is over, you got to pay the $20.
Okay. For the block party, and then it stays on Game Pass, right?
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It stays on EA Play and Game Pass, which is where it should be. I'm glad it's a part of EA Play and Game Pass. It'd be nice to see it join PlayStation Now as well. Just get out on all the platforms. I just, the game is fucking awesome. I'm having so much fun with it. Y'all got codes for it. I paid the $30 for the deluxe edition, and I thought it was absolutely worth it. I cannot wait to play more, and I absolutely support this game. Go play Knockout City.
Drop it, bitch!
I don't really play multiplayer games anymore, but I could see this being one that I keep around.
Yeah, and so. Shout out to No Time for Games for dropping 100 biddies. Hugs to you and wet pancakes to all. Moving on, next game to talk about is Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, developed by Black Isle Studios, published by Interplay, released May 7th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $29.99. Experience the massively popular world of Baldur's Gate as never before. Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance thrusts you into an epic Dungeons & Dragons adventure filled with intense action, intricate puzzles, and sinister intrigue, where your mastery of cold steel and devastating spells is the only thing between you and ultimate evil. Jacob, tell us about your time with Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance.
This is yet another game that released, you know, like 2 decades ago that I completely missed out on when it first came out. So this remaster, honestly, I didn't look up any comparison photos of them, but damn, this game is pretty. Like, first off, I mean, it's very much still a game of its time in terms of how the models look. Like, and like the first NPC that you actually talk to is this barmaid, and I'm just like I just took one look at her, and I'm like, you know, there's no way that nobody made nude mods for this game on PC back in the day. Like, there's no way nobody didn't. Pretty much, you are this person, and at the beginning of the game, you can select like what you're going to be. Are you going to be an archer? Are you going to be a mage? Like that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you go into this town, and then you wake up and you find out that you've had the shit kicked out of you, and like, you know, the bandits stole all your shit. So you have to go through, you have to go back, get your stuff. And then it progresses from there as you find out like some deep shit is happening in the land, and only you, a mysterious traveler, can save the day. Of course, you know, it's standard D&D fantasy, you know, plot line. The game, so it's like a third-person isometric hack-and-slash game. And, of course, like, you can have magic powers and stuff like that. And as you kill more bad guys, you level up and you get better weapons and you get better abilities, you know, so on and so forth. But it's just, like, there was a lot. I really appreciated the level of dialogue, the number of missions that you could do, and just how all the levels looked. As I said, I didn't compare them to what they looked back in the day, but everything just looks so damn gorgeous. It was such a nice thing to look at and like just look at the land as you're playing the game, which did unfortunately result in me getting my ass kicked once because I was too busy looking at the scenery instead of who was coming to, you know, butt fuck me.
You got the achievement for dying.
Of course. Name a game where I don't get the achievement for dying. Like, I found like the secret dying achievement in Paw Patrol. I mean, come on. That's not real, by the way. So you just go through the land and like, you know, you have to make your decisions of like how you're gonna talk to people and like what you're gonna say, and you know, we're going to have to fight no matter what, because of course. And you just go through the... I mean, that's it. I mean, you just go through
standard
the
standard action-adventure RPG. I can agree. It looks, compared to the original Xbox game, like the textures in this look really good. The water looks really good in this game.
The floors look really good. Oh my god.
Like, it's been spruced up. It looks nice. The FMV sequences look like shit because they obviously aren't in HD. But, right. You know, that's expected in all of these remasters that we see. The textures get the resolution bump. Those videos do not. So you're looking at like a 480i video.
I was going to say, but I mean, I don't think that there's anything that they really can do about the videos, though.
No, but it's still funny to point out to me.
That's true.
This is definitely a product of its time, though. I wish to God you could just hold A to attack instead of mashing the A button. I am scared that I may have broken my Elite Controller's A button from mashing it much during this game.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Because it's nothing but mashing the A. You hit the A button, you attack one time. You do not get to hold it like in Diablo, so your character auto attacks. So if you pick a melee class, you're just mashing and mashing and mashing and mashing. And they need to update that. They need to do something about that. It is a controller killer.
I wonder if the folks over who made it, hopefully they're listening to this review with that, because I know that the folks over at Chivo Guides, they did say that they have been updating this game with certain stuff. One of the nice things is that the old cheat codes are still active in the game.
Yep.
So if you're getting your ass kicked, you can turn on invulnerability and still enjoy the game, which does take about I think they were saying the original game took like 14 to 16 hours, which again, product of the time. Fable the Lost Chapters was shorter than that. And I remember one of the Ninja Gaiden games was shorter than that too. So, I mean, it's just like, I mean, honestly though, for 30, wait, is it $30 or is it $25?
$29.99. What is your verdict at $30 on this one?
Honestly, I thought it was totally worth it. I thought it was a really fun game, and like the amount of exploration and depth of the storyline, I thought it was a lot of fun. It actually made me excited for the Dark Alliance game that's coming out later this year, which I was just like, oh man, I hope I get it for review. And then I saw, oh snap, it's going to be day one on Game Pass.
Yep.
So, you know, even if I don't get to review it, I can still play it.
You need to stop putting stock in getting stuff for you. Just tell me that. You always bring it up on the show. I'm going to bitch slap you. So $30, your verdict is a buy it. I'm going with a try it on it. I think, like I said, it's a product of its time. So it does have the issue of that friggin' A button mashing. But if you've never played it before, it's worth checking out. If you have played the game before, I don't think it's required revisiting unless you're eager for 1,000 achievement points, because if you use the cheat codes and do some quick travel and jumping around, you can 1,000 this game in like an hour.
Yeah. I think Chivo Guide said it was 30 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah. I put like 4 or 5 hours into it before I said fuck it and went to the end boss and got the killer Onyx sword and then just mashed everything. I tried playing it on hard, legit, and it is so brutally unfair on hard difficulties and extreme difficulty.
Oh my god, extreme was terrible. Could you imagine like not playing it with that Onyx sword?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Or
playing with playing without invulnerability. Oh my lord.
Oh god, no.
Yeah.
Screw that.
Anyway, next game to talk about is Wrecked High Octane Stunts, developed by Little Chicken Game Company, published by No Gravity Games, released May 26th on Xbox One for $5.99. A high octane stunt arcade game with an addictive combo and trick-based gameplay set in a retro arena. Get behind the wheel, jump, drift, stunt, and compete with others on the way to the top of the global leaderboard. It's time to get wrecked. Jacob, tell us about Wrecked.
So, Wrecked, pretty much it's I the way I'd put it is that, like, if you got tired of like trying to, if you really stink at Rocket League scoring goals but you have a lot of fun like mashing the buttons and making your car do insane flips, Wrecked is absolutely the game for you, aka it's for me. So so with it, you're put in this arena, which they call, it's like a retro arena, but really it's just with like Miami Vice 1980s colors. And there's all sorts of stuff you could do. You could like crash into these like aluminum can walls. You could go over flips. You could do loop de loops. You could jump to other platforms and stuff like that. And each level has like certain objectives that they want you to do, which part of it is also just, you know, making sure that you understand the controls. But yeah, it's just, you just try to get everything done within a certain amount of time. There's these little things that you can pick up that can extend your time. And also you just tool around. I mean,
it's a high score chaser.
It's a big sandbox of just being able to do flips and all this other kind of stuff. Now, that being said, I mean, the controls are easy to do. The game holds your hand for most of it. My issue is that it's a little finicky with like what constitutes as being wrecked and what doesn't. Like, I've had ones where like my car flipped over like 15 times, but the game is still like, oh, you're good, keep going, blah, 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 blah. Other times it's just like my side mirror got dented and it's like, oh, you're wrecked. Like, and I'm just, I don't understand what happened.
I've had a lot of jumps where I'll like nail it on four wheels and it just won't give me any credit for the jump.
Yeah. Or it's like, you'll finish it like, or you'll finish the loop and it's just like, oh, you wrecked. And I'm just like, but I did it perfectly. I don't understand what happened. So with that being said, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a good, like, 15-20 minute time waster on a clip.
That's a very good pick up and play game. It's something you could pick up, just put 10 minutes into, move on. I love all the different cars you could get. I'm eager to unlock the chicken car. I saw the silhouette for that, and I really want to figure out how to unlock the chicken. I like the different, the achievements are unique in the game. They have some cool goals you can do with the achievements. I wish there were more. It's $6. It's just such a cool little game for $6.
For $6, like, it's definitely worth it. My thing is that as I just said, I wish they'd fine tune what constitutes as wrecked. And the other thing is, I wish that there was like some sort of camera system so I could just explore like the arena and figure out where everything's located, or like so I could plan my tricks better. Because in a lot of the levels, like, you can get extra points if you spell wrecked. And most of the time I was only able to figure out where like one or two of the letters were. And so either I'm going to need some sort of like YouTube guide, or, you know, as I said, if there was some sort of like free camera system where I could just explore the level, that would be neat. But honestly, though, for $6, it's a total recommendation. Absolutely. Cool. It's a ton of fun. Highly recommend it.
All right. Sounds good. All right. That is it for your time, Jacob. We'll let you get going.
All righty.
Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Nah.
Burn in hell. All right, next game to talk about is The Wild at Heart, developed by Moonlight Kids, published by Humble Games, released May 20th on Xbox One and PC for $24.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. A mysterious hidden realm, two precious kids fleeing hardship, magical creatures, and an oddball order of guardians who have lost their way. A Stygian evil imprisoned, welcome to the deep woods. Cole, tell us about your time with The Wild at Heart.
Everybody kept saying that The Wild at Heart is like a Pikmin game. I've never played Pikmin, so I don't know. If you are hoping for me to compare it to that, you're SOL. I don't know if it's like Pikmin. I don't know what that is. You play as two characters, mild spoiler, Wake and Kirby. The two have decided to run away from their respective homes because their home lives are fairly shitty. And in doing so, they decide that they're going to meet each other at the forest behind their houses, right?
And I'm looking at pictures. This is totally Pikmin.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know what Pikmin is.
All the little things following you and you throw them to like attack Riley. Enemies and carry shit.
Yeah.
That's Pikmin.
Well, it's wonderful whether it's Pikmin or not. They wind up in the woods, and Kirby initially doesn't have a weapon, but she eventually is given a device that lets her draw corruption. And Wake starts off with the Gust Buster, which is a vacuum pack, much like what they use in Ghostbusters, but instead of vacuuming up ghosts, he's vacuuming up screws and junk that can be used for crafting. You end up running into a character named Greycoat, who describes that everything in the forest has been thrown off balance. There is an ever encroaching presence called the Never that will torment everybody in the dark. but has also been making itself seen during the day. So shit's gone wrong, and they need you to go and collect the other guardians so that you can all come back to the Grove and come up with a way to defeat the Never. You'll travel around all kinds of different little biomes. There's a cave, there's a frozen area, there's a beachy area. There's just a good old-fashioned forest. Plenty of different areas to explore. All have their own unique sprightling that you can find within them. So you start off with the little basic one, like it can destroy mushrooms and toxic frogs. And then eventually you get additional ones like the... there's the emberlings, which if you throw them at dry grass, will set it on fire and get it out of your way. Or you'll get the burblings, which you can throw at crystals to break those. So the more you explore, you'll run into the different sprightlings. There is a day and night cycle, and you need to watch that fucking clock like a hawk.
Oh, just like because... in Pikmin.
God damn it! Because once it does get dark, that's when the Never will start to chase you. There are some options, though, to still explore in the dark. Initially, I was like, oh my god, I'm terrified to move anywhere when it's dark. I stayed at the camp, go to sleep every time, start the day cycle over, and be like, that's all I can do today. And then I discovered I was dumb and just chicken shit for no good reason.
Proud of you.
After I leveled up my health a little bit, and did some improvements and had more spritelings, I was like, I don't need to be afraid of this anymore. Of course, now if you get caught by the Never, it'll still fuck your couch up. But if you're smart, you'll realize that there's lanterns everywhere. And as soon as the Never spawns, you can just kind of run for a lantern and stay there until it goes away. And then you can go back to doing what you wanted until another one spawns, and then you got to stop again. I probably wouldn't have needed to spend 30 hours with the game if I had been smart enough about that earlier on. But again, I wasn't familiar with the gameplay. And I was just like, okay, don't be caught in dark. Stand here forever. And so if I couldn't get to a camp, I'd literally just stay by a lantern until the time cycle would loop through. And then I'd be like, okay, well, I can go now. It was no big deal. I just leave it sitting in another window while I did something on the computer for a few minutes.
Oh my god.
And then I was just like, I can keep going. But in the beginning, your health is so low that it does feel scarier. Eventually, by the end, I was so overpowered because I had taken all this time to go. I did every fucking collectible. I did every fucking bounty that one of the guardians gives you. I had done it all before I even got to the final boss. So I was a little on the overpowered side.
Nice.
But even with that, the difficulty for the boss fight is actually a lot higher than I was expecting. There aren't any other boss battles building up to that final battle. The whole game is just you preparing to go into the one fight.
Hmm.
Like, you'll run into enemies, and you throw the Pikmin. See, got me saying it now. The Spritelings at them, and they, you know, destroy it. And you're like, okay, that's that. If you really want to be rambunctious, you can walk up to it and kick it. You can even eat a meal that'll give you more powerful kicks. That's great. But I didn't use it at all because I had so many Spritelings that I was just throwing them at them by the, you know, 30s and 40s and like whatever. They're overpowered. They're overwhelmed. They don't give a fuck. They don't need me kicking them while they're down. So when I did get to that final boss and it took me multiple tries to beat it, I was like, I feel woefully unprepared. I have everything I can do in this game, max to the gills. And I wasn't ready for this fight. Granted, though, even with that situation, like, I've played a lot of other games where I go into a final battle and, like, be overpowered and still take way more than just three tries to beat it. So I was still secretly a little proud of myself. All I wanted was for those last couple of achievements to pop. And when they did, I was like, fuck yeah. Carnage said 15 to 20 hours average is how long people are reporting it takes to beat it. It did take me 27 hours. And I, like I said, I didn't use a guide.
Seven of those was standing in the dark.
Seven of them were standing in the dark. I didn't use a guide. I collected fucking everything. I was crafting a lot of shit just to see what would happen. So I wasn't trying to speedrun it. I've seen videos of people who are like, oh yeah, if you follow this step by step, you can do it in 7 hours. Yeah. So, but there were a couple times where I just genuinely got stuck. Some of that shit is hard to find. Like you can buy maps. One of my favorite characters, by the way, is the map maker, and his name is Paper Planes, and he can't speak. He's lost his voice. So he writes everything on paper planes and throws them at you. And that's how he talks to you.
Interesting.
It's wonderful. The characters are so odd. There are hidden cats, and the cat lady, her name is Litterbox. And she won't talk to you about anything else. She just wants you to find her cat.
Oh, Ashley's in the game. Got it.
Yes. But yeah, I had such a good time. I enjoyed everything about it. But as I was saying about Paper Planes, I was buying the maps, and there's one for all of the collectibles, but it doesn't show you the journal entries. And to complete the game, you have to find 17 journal pages. I was missing number 7 and number 15. No, not 15. 12, I think it was. 7 and 12. And for the life of me, I couldn't find them. So I'm like, okay, I've bought all the maps, and they don't show you where the journals are. They show you where all the cats are, all the treasure chests, where all the other collectibles are, but not the journals. And the journal pages, because the whole map is just kind of littered with trash, because that's the junk you collect for your currency, right? The whole map is littered with trash. There's papers and stuff laying everywhere. And it's super easy to just stroll right on by one of those pages and have no idea that it's a journal page. So I would have liked a little more standout. Yeah, they have little sparkles on them. So does fucking everything else in the game. Everything sparkles. It's pretty. It's adorable. So I would just like a little more to either draw your eye to it or put them on one of Paper Planes' maps, or both, if you really let me.
Well, that gripe aside, $25 on the Wild at Heart. What are you thinking?
I do think it's worth it. I loved it. It is one of my favorite games from this year. Absolutely. I do want to point out, I was playing it both on PC and on Xbox. It is Play Anywhere. So your save is a cloud save, and it goes back and forth. But I know Lightspeed was telling me he was playing on Xbox One, just an Xbox One X, and it was really struggling with frame rates and stuff whenever he had a few spritelings following him. Considering some points in the game, there are rocks that you need 100 spritelings to move. And he was struggling with like 4. On an Xbox One X. So I would definitely say if you've got a better computer or a Series X, you're better off than if you're trying to play it on older consoles.
Overall?
Buy it. I love it. It's so good.
Cool. All right. Next game is Crossroads Inn, developed and published by Kubater. Released May 19th on Xbox One for $29.99. Crossroads Inn is a real-time management sim set in an original fantasy world of Delcris?
I don't fucking know.
Build and manage your tavern, make visiting adventurers happy, and your services famous all over the land. Play freely in sandbox mode or follow the rich story and campaign. Paul, tell us about Crossroads Inn.
So if you're playing the story mode and campaign, the concept is you are a lowly little barkeep and you need to work your way up from being a barkeep to becoming the king.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Barkeep to king?
It's an odd concept. And you do it all while just managing your bar. It eventually becomes an inn. But this is one of those games where the game that it promises is not exactly the game it delivers, right? Like, the core gameplay concepts are there. Simulator, you have the bar. You have to put in tables and put in barrels and buy alcohol and, you know, prepare a menu and hire servants. But it goes out of its way to try to hammer home that you've got different types of customers. The problem is that you will never see a customer in your bar. And it doesn't tell you that it's going to do that. It's just like, these customers are rowdy. They make a bigger mess. These customers start more fights. And I'm sitting there with my tavern, and I've hired people, and I have all the stuff set up, and I'm like, okay, any minute, somebody's going to come through the door. The game's not pretty, but I was at least expecting the bare minimum of, like, somebody walking in the door and coming in and sitting down and ordering, right? It never happens. There is a tab on the right-hand side that keeps a tab of, oh, these are the customers that are in the tavern, and this is what they're doing. But you never actually see any sprites or characters go in. So you can see the tavern. You can see your furniture. You can see you never see you, but you can see you're just an invisible hand that controls it all. And you can see your employees. They're walking around working, but there is never another sprite in the tavern.
I'm looking at screenshots and it shows characters. I wonder if you ran into some kind of glitch. Like, were you proceeding or like progressing in the game?
Yes. Huh. I never had anybody other than the employees. There would be, like, every now and then somebody would walk up and look at the notice board and walk away. And it was kind of just on, like, a timer that it would happen. But like I said, you could click on the menu and it would show, oh, there are people coming in. But they would never actually be visible.
That sounds off. I don't know.
So I was struggling. Like, I would get alerts. Things were happening. Characters would pop up. Dialogue options would pop up. But as far as, like, anybody actually coming in and hanging out, no idea what was going on. All I could see is that shit was getting dirty. Hire another servant, because that's all I could do.
I wonder if something's broken with it. I don't know.
But I was disappointed, because I do love these kind of games. And this is 100% the kind of shit. Like, I will sit there and become a king all day long. Bring it on. But I just couldn't get the actual gameplay. It just didn't line up with what I was being told was happening in the sidebar wasn't matching up with what was being on the screen. And so I was disappointed.
Well, $29.99 on this one. What do you say?
I can't. Not if it's broken. If by some crazy chance this is just a glitch that happened to me, then I'll happily revisit it. And I hope the devs know that I will check it out again and revise it. But at its current state and the way that I played it, no, I can't recommend it.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is OA OA Off and On Again, developed by Subsilico, published by Ginger Biscuit Games, released May 28th on Steam, 29th on Switch, June 4th on Xbox for $14.99. Off and On Again tells the story of a hero tasked with rebooting time. The game world is created and destroyed during play, with the hero having the ability to turn parts of the world off and on again. Ha, just like the title. You will be required to use both brains and skill to overcome the enemies and obstacles in your path. Our friend Serlina wrote in a review of this one. This is what she's got to say. Hello, SML friends and fam. It's your girl Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing OA OA for the Nintendo Switch, developed by Ginger Biscuit Games and published by Subsilico. Off and On Again is a puzzle platformer that has you as a nameless hero who must traverse and change a digital world by manipulating time and environment to reboot the world to a time before it was in the clutches of the insidious virus. Get it? Reboot the world? Off and On Again? Whatever. Let's get to the review. Off and On Again is pretty standard story-wise. I was actually surprised I learned as much as I did. Naturally, the hero is nameless and faceless, but you're given the very cute nickname of Legs by your pixel guide Globe, who will tell you how to navigate in the world and drop tidbits of story exposition here and there. After the first few levels, Legs is on their own, and you'll need to use your smarts to pass each level. Graphics-wise, you'll feel like you were instantly transported to the inside of some computer system, which I like. The colors are pretty sharp, filled with lots of electric blues, reds, yellows, and greens. The game is pixelated, but it's still very clean and crisp, and I like the vibe. The music is also really well done, meeting the challenge of a digital electronica very well, but this is a platformer, so let's talk about the level design. The level design is good, but it will require precision from you. You'll breeze through the first few levels, then after that, it's precise jumps. How precise? Very precise, and it's interesting too because at that level, nothing can kill you. So if you don't time one jump you need to get to the next, you'll spend the next few minutes wanting to hurl your Switch across the room because you can't make a simple jump. And by you, I mean me. Luckily for us all, I still have an intact Switch. One thing I did have to mitigate is that good old Joy-Con drift, which can get you killed if you aren't careful. Uh-oh. Not really any baddies in the game, but there were puzzles, delicious platforming puzzles with red and yellow killer zap beams that you must solve in order to progress. One thing I wasn't very much a fan of was at some points in the game, usually when I'm trying to make one of those precision jumps, Legs will get stuck on a corner of whatever ledge you're trying to jump off of. Sometimes it resulted in my death, sometimes not. Happened often enough that I need to mention it, and it's not from anything I did. In fact, I let go of the controls completely, and Legs will be stuck in the jump animation on a ledge for forever if you don't do another jump. That's not good. Another part of me is annoyed that if you die several times on any random level, the game will literally start to slow up and bounce around. That was highly disorienting for me, not sure if that's a feature or a bug. I'm gonna guess a bug because I didn't run into that, and I let my game idle on the one level to get the 500 kills.
Wow.
Don't judge, you would do the same thing.
I would.
I didn't run into that. That has to be some kind of bug on the Switch version. And the jumping thing, I'm not a fan of the jumping in this game. It feels very floaty. The wall jumping, it feels unnatural, I guess is the way to put it. Like, you have to hold against the wall and jump instead of, like, facing away from the wall and jumping.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm used to, so it was very awkward to do the wall jumping in this game. Just the floatiness was weird, too. Lastly, I do need to mention that this game does have online multiplayer, as I have no friends I could not play, but I would love to dive into the four different modes, which are Deathmatch, Elimination, Invasion, which is kind of like Space Invaders, and Break It. The multiplayer supports four players, and it looks really fun. Maybe one day, lovelies. Maybe one day. I didn't know it was online. I thought it was just local multiplayer.
Hmm.
I don't know. She might be wrong. I might be wrong. One of us is definitely wrong. Tune in next week and you won't find out. On and Off Again will be available on the Switch and other platforms. And should you buy it? Yeah, I'd buy it. It's a fun, groovy, and challenging platformer with a decent soundtrack and a not invisible story. Coupled with the super promising multiplayer, I imagine you could play this one for a while. I can agree. It's a cool game. It's got a nice vibe to it. I do wish the jumping felt better and just the movement in general had just this floaty feel to it. It's hard to explain, but once you get your hands on it, you'll be like, oh, I see what you mean. And that's weird. I think $15 is a little steep. I would have liked to see it around 10, but as it stands, I personally would give it a try.
Nice.
All right. Next up is called Erica, developed and published. Developed and published by Flavorworks, released May 25th on Steam for $11.99. Erica is a live-action FMV thriller that puts you directly at the heart of the mystery. Your choices, your consequences. Paul, tell us about Erica.
So, Erica is a interactive thriller, and it's a full-on FMV. Lost my train of thought after
FMV. Already?
It just whoop. Gone. It's a full-on FMV game, fully acted. There are some sequences where you are interacting in the world. These typically don't have any characters in them. There will be like options that will come up around, typically around Erica's head. like as she's standing there, you'll have a few seconds to choose something, to dictate the potential outcomes. But as far as like actually interacting with the world, it's very low key. It's usually just something like click to open a door or choose which drawer she might open or something like that. Erica's mother has been killed. As far as she's aware of, her mother is dead. And her father is killed in front of her when she's very young. Now that she is older, there is a package arrives at her apartment, and when she opens it, there is a severed hand with the same mark carved into it that was carved into her father's chest when he was killed. So this leads to her becoming involved with a police officer as the detective is trying to, you know, track down who might be trying to come back for Erica since she survived the initial slaughter. So the choices that you make can affect the other characters in the story and where they're at once you get to the ending. There are, I think, 6 endings in all.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's actually quite a few. Most of these that I play usually only have 2 or 3 possible endings. So when I saw 6, I was like, I'm going to need a wiki to keep this straight. Because there are a lot of potential options. And it seems a lot of the things that you do, because I play so many of these, I tend to be like, oh, I can tell what kind of outcome, like this will lead to a positive outcome, this will lead to a negative outcome. They feel obvious when you play a lot of games in this genre after a while, as to which one you pick to kind of get whichever ending you'd like to see. But with Erica, it didn't really feel like the choices you were making were going to have that big of an impact. So I was really surprised to see the different endings, because I didn't think that, you know, choosing to make perfume over going to have lunch with another character would make that much difference, right?
Yeah.
But it really does end up in the end having some really dramatic changes to how the story to the story lands. So because it is less game, more interactive horror, it's more film like, certainly more cinematic. They've done a really good job at fitting in the few moments where you are actually interacting with the world. They don't feel forced or contrived. There are a couple instances where, like, when you click on a drawer, for example, the drawer just slides out. It would be nicer to see her hand reach in and open that drawer instead. But you can't be picky. You know, whatever they were working with budget wise, they made 6 possible endings. I can't be mad. But it's just a small personal preference kind of thing. But there are other moments where, like, you know, you're opening a gift and it feels more natural, where, you know, you'll like click on something and the paper will move away in a way that looks like maybe her hands are off screen and could have done it. So even being nitpicky about that, it's not like, oh, it's game breaking, this is garbage. No, it looks great. They did a really good job. There were a couple scenes I was actually even kind of surprised by. One, for instance, where you're just moving the needle on a record player, and it just was so smooth and cinematic. And like, I was like, there's no way it doesn't feel like I was the one that had that effect, but it is. It's you that decides to do it. So I was really impressed by that. Overall story, it's a little contrived and kind of, because there are so many different paths and like it, ways it could end. Sometimes it doesn't feel like the sequences line up as smoothly as they could, because you may do something in one scene. I'm trying not to spoil anything, obviously. So I'm sorry for being vague, but like, you may do something in one scene, and then the scene that follows it, while it makes sense story wise, it may feel like it's more of a blunt jump cut. And so it doesn't feel as smooth as if, you know, you had chose the proper option for that particular sequence to make it flow a little more naturally. But those kind of moments are few and far between, and I didn't mind them.
Well, $12 on Erica. What do you think?
I'm surprised it's only $12. It's really well done. And I think if you like FMV games, or if you just want something that, you know, you can sit back and not have to put a whole lot of effort to, and can kind of just click your way through it. And this is a good option. I do want to address one other thing. There is an option. There's not a lot as far as accessibility options go. There's also not a lot you could particularly need for an FMV game. There is the option to get rid of the wavy text that appears around for your dialogue. That's good that they give you the option to make it solid, stable text that's more easy to read. But there are no options to get rid of the timer. So if you aren't on the draw and clicking really quickly, or if you want to take your time and kind of think about it, you're not able to do that once the options burn up as they go.
I could see that being a narrative choice, though.
Yeah, but once they're gone, they're gone. Like that can be frustrating just from an accessibility standpoint. But otherwise, at least they put in the option to make them more easy to read.
Easier to read.
My grammar is just like gone out the window with my brain.
With an ER. Grammar with an ER.
Yeah. Gone. Right. Grammar went out the winder.
Next game to talk about is called Long Ago, a puzzle tale developed and published by Grim Talon. Released May 28th on Xbox, Switch, and Steam for $9.99. Long Ago, a puzzle tale is a relaxing puzzle game with colorful visuals, beautiful music, and a fully voiced modern fairy tale told in rhyme. Solve intuitive puzzles, collect feathers, gems, and coins, discover new mechanics. You progress and enjoy the unique themes each chapter unlocks. Paul, tell us about the unique themes that each chapter unlocks.
no. The way you said unique, it just immediately my head was gone.
Uh-huh. That word like, broke us.
It did. I heard unique and I was just like, wait. I wasn't ready for that. this game was made by Grim Talon, who is the dev behind The Adventures of Elena Temple. And whew, what a departure it is from the first game. It's very, very different. It is a puzzle strategy game. Everything that is spoken or written in this game rhymes. And I don't want to say that it's bad, because that's not what I'm trying to say at all. But there are certainly times where it can make following the directions in the story a little more difficult than I would like, just because the urge to push it into that rhyme scheme is a little too heavy-handed. But I get that he's going for, like, they? I don't know who that is. I assume they. But I get that they were going for like this old fashioned storybook type of fairy tale with the characters. So it works, but it's also a little ham fisted. The actual gameplay, why are the words so hard today?
We broke call.
It's just gone. You have basically a scene, and then there's like a board with a puzzle on it, and you need to move the ball by pressing on, you know, your thumbstick or your D-pad or whichever you want to use to move the ball around. This is one of those almost like a sliding block puzzle. Can't talk. Like a sliding block puzzle, but instead of a block, you have a ball. So if you press for the ball to go to the right, for example, it will go all the way to the right to the edge of the board unless there is something blocking its path, which means you need to navigate moving the ball around and collecting either coins or feathers or hitting statues or whatever the current objective is until you get them all or light them all up, whatever it wants you to do. The hitch is that there are a set number of moves. And if you go over that, you're borked and you got to try all over again. So that's where the actual difficulty comes into play. I would like to see a mode that just didn't give a fuck how many moves it took you so you could at least kind of try it out.
I can agree on that. When I saw that there was a move limit, I'll be honest, I turned the game off and I didn't go back.
Damn. Okay. I'm a little more forgiving because you can freely press B to undo your move. But there were a lot of times where I would be like just one or two beyond what it would allow. And I could see the moves, but it would game over me and make me do it again. So that is frustrating. And I would definitely have preferred to see an unlimited move, at least like trial or option for each puzzle. Beyond that, though, I thought it was really creative. Well done. It looked great. I was impressed. It was such a big, change from the 2D gameplay I was expecting, similar to Atlanta Temple. And I loaded it up and it was a board because I didn't look at screenshots. I just saw that this was by Grim Talon. I was like, oh, yeah, I would like to play that. And then I loaded it up. And I was like, this is different. So I was impressed. And it definitely shows what a big leap that they've made in just their development efforts from one game to the next. And I like to see that.
Well, $10, your official verdict?
I think there's plenty enough content there. Like I said, the only thing I could possibly ask for would be an easier difficulty. So yeah, I'm going to go with a buy it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to get Dark Meek in here. Hopefully she's ready. I didn't give her any kind of heads up. I'm just calling.
You're going to break her Skype. Her whole computer is just going to explode.
Yeah, it's working. You there?
Okay, good, because I totally can't hear you guys on my end.
Wonderful. Audio issues.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, does that mean you can hear me?
I can hear you through the podcast, which is why it's taking so long for me to respond.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah, 6 seconds. Woohoo!
All right, well, let's fucking try this out. Next game to talk about is called A Little Lily Princess, developed by Hanabria and Hanako Games, published by Rattle Lake Games, that released May 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $14.99. In British-controlled India, Sarah Crewe was raised like a princess by her doting papa, always given the best of everything. Now that she is old enough, she must be sent away to a boarding school in a foreign land, relying on her love of books and fairy tales to help her make friends. But not all smiles can be trusted, and fortune can turn cold and hard at any moment. What would happen to a little princess if she lost everything? Aki, tell us about A Little Lily Princess.
Okay, first off, this is a visual novel, but it's not a kinetic one or an adventure one, which is usually what you guys hear me talk about. Instead, this is more of a dating sim type game, which means you have stat management in it as well, which, you know, joyous, great fun. Not usually ones I particularly care for because I don't like management stuff. But in this, you play as, obviously, Sarah, and she has just been brought to England to go to boarding school. She was born and raised in India, so she's brand new at this tiny little school. And yeah, just do that. And So she's has, I think there's four or five other kids in the class, I think, with her, something like that, in the entire school that you're introduced to anyways. It's a, it's more like an orphanage, in my opinion, than anything else, because there's like none of them ever see their parents, really. It's kind of sad there. But it's mostly just a slice of life. You know, it's just her daily school time, trying to get to know these girls and the like. And during this, you get to choose to make friends with some of the girls. There's two girls in your grade that you can interact with. There's your maid that you can interact with, another young girl that is a very low-ranking maid, like someone who cleans like the walls and the floors and carries coal and shit, because this is during Victorian age England. There's a little kid, and I don't remember who the last character is anymore off the top of my head. Sorry about that. Oh well. And basically, you get a chunk of visual novel, and then you have to choose what you do for that week. And, you know, in the first half of the game, it's, you know, what playing with toys, going for walks, practicing dancing, all that other fun crap, which give you different stat boosts. With these boosts, you can spend those to see select scenes with one of the girls that's available, and they all take away points from those stats. So you have to constantly get more stats over and over again. And the first half is just her trying to get to know all these different girls. And then the second half, bad shit happens, because of course it does. That's the entire point. And then everything, instead of making her life happy, it's kind of just her becoming more and more miserable, which is really actually surprisingly depressing. This is a very well-written visual novel. It's thank you, Joe. The writing is pretty superb in this. There were a number of times, even in the happy area, you know, it deals with loss and classism and things like that. So they have some important things they talk about, even though, again, she's like 14 or 15 or something like that is how old she's supposed to be. So it has some pretty good conversations. And since I'm the one reviewing this, you can also kind of guesstimate that this is partly Yuri. All the girls she gets close to, some of them hint at a relationship that might come about in the future, so on and so forth. But yeah, it deals with some good stuff. The funny parts are really funny. It's most of it is really just cute and adorable in the first half, and in the second half, again, depressing as hell. but overall, I totally think it's worth it to buy it. If Joe has any questions, he can type them down or say them.
So $14.99, your verdict?
Yep, for $14.99 totally. Yep.
Cool. All right. Next game to talk about, final game to talk about, is called Not Another Weekend, developed by Animatic Vision and Dead Blue Friends, published by Dionys Games, released May 20th on Steam for $10.99, a wacky point-and-click adventure game featuring a bellboy who needs to empty a hotel from its guests. He only has 2 days. Can he make it? Aki, tell us if he made it.
Okay, and this, I believe your character's name is Mark. I don't remember his last name because it's weird. It's like Marklet or something like that. He's just a very weird fucking bellboy at a really shitty, asinine, garbage hotel. Like, the owner is like, oh yes, this is all great and everything, but then he mistreats everyone because he's an arrogant, self-aggrandized piece of shit.
Mike Melkout is the
your
name.
Character decides, you know what, I'm tired of this shit. And then he goes about deciding, you know, I'm going to get rid of literally everyone from this hotel. All the rooms are filled up. I think there's 13 or 14 rooms that all have guests in it, which is the entirety of the hotel. And then all the different workers at the hotel. And he has taken it upon himself to get rid of fucking all of them because he just doesn't want them anymore. As says his uncle to him. And I'm not going to explain that part. It's really weird and it's fantastic. And then literally you cannot fail. You can't avoid getting rid of all of them because the game only continues after you get rid of certain characters each day, and you can only get rid of those characters that day. He has 2 days to do it, and it cuts through like morning, afternoon, and night is basically how it cuts the days up. And so it's all point and click, which makes it easy, and it's one of them that actually makes fucking sense, which are really the only ones I try to play, because the ones that don't make sense I hate. Like, I don't think you should have to give a wrench to a monkey to make a monkey wrench. Like, that's, I think that shit's stupid. Yeah, lots of people from fucking Monkey Island, I think is what it is, would like, you know, that kind of shit. I can't stand it. Thankfully, this isn't one of those. And so he gets rid of literally everyone, and not long after that, the game ends. So that's really mostly what the game is. It has a twist ending, but lots of the characters in the game are spoofs of people in real life. Like, there's a character, the chef of the game, is a spoof of Steven Seagal. The receptionist is a spoof of the Terminator. It's really weird. That's really all I have for that one. It's not particularly long, it sounds like a shorter game, but it's
only $10.99. So what is your verdict on this one?
For $10.99, I think it's worth it. I would say probably wait for a sale, but otherwise, yeah, it's pretty good. It's a funny little game.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. That is it for this episode. Cole, we made it through another one.
We did it.
We made it. Thanks to Jacob and thanks to Aki being on a 6-second delay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to wait for her to reply. I'm just going to assume that she's going to chime in with something vulgar. Right about... No, vulgar. She's just going to cough. Fuck it. All right. Does anyone have any final words? No, Cole, you do it because you actually can hear me right now. Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
Play the Wild at Heart. It's great.
Bouncy boobies in the bathhouse.
Jesus Christ.